You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful Saturday.
It's gorgeous, and the roads are dry, and it was so beautiful. I went for a walk with my wife yesterday, and it was gorgeous outside.
Yeah, took the dog for a walk to the park. It was, 22, 23 degrees. We had a great time.
And it seemed like, all of a sudden the wind came, and all the leaves fell off the trees the same day.
Right.
So we're walking down the thing, and it looked like the yellow brick road. I felt like Dorothy, and, I don't. Like Dorothy, my wife, perhaps. I guess that would have made me Toto.
Yeah, perhaps.
But I keep talking. I may be in the doghouse later.
So yeah, we'll then, you know, anytime you mention your wife on the air, you're always in the doghouse. Speaking of leaves on the ground, keep in mind that they're slippery.
Absolutely
you
slippery.
Know?
Yes,
don't,
yes,
don't forget.
Yes.
If you're driving on them, they're slippery.
Pretty much like ice or snow, eh?
Yeah, they have very, very low grip on wet leaves, that's for sure. Hey, we also have a guest in the studio. It's Mark Marmer from Signature Electric. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me in the studio. I'm glad to be back.
We're going to be talking about electric cars.
We're going to talk a little bit of EVs. We also have Michael Stewart from CAA on the show later. So we've got lots of things to talk about today.
Speaking of leaves and speaking of Halloween and people driving safe and people paying attention or not.
Or not.
As a matter of fact, we were talking to Mark earlier about, cars in general, and he's got a couple electrics, and he's quite impressed with the sensors and the information that those vehicles will give you as a driver.
Yeah, Mark, the technology is great, isn't it? It really helps the driver.
I mean, I think let's not forget, you got to pay attention when you're driving. But, my forward sensor warning, having the car tell me when the light turns green, and I'm maybe not the last person to leave the green light while I'm, somebody's looking at their phone next to me. There's some handy stuff. We have the car's got the full self-driving option. I'm not quite comfortable yet, but my grandkids think it's the greatest thing ever. So,
no doubt. I've said on the air before, I don't recall that I've signed up to participate in Tesla's beta test of full self-driving.
I was pressured in the office. They said, Mark, if the price is going to come up, give it a try. You need to be, when you're on Zoomer Radio and somebody wants to ask you, if you don't try it, how are you going to talk about it?
So. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, conventional cars, which I drive, I drive a different car every week, they're not quite that advanced. So what I'm driving this week has a very high level 2 system, not quite to what Tesla likes to do with full self-driving, but it is hands-off on the freeway. So on a divided highway, it's geofenced, it's fully hands-off as long as it can see the markings on the road. And, of course, sometimes it can't see the markings on the road because our markings are crap in this part of the world.
Yeah, the full self-driving, if anything, it's you really have to pay attention. If it's not happy the lane it's in because it thinks it needs a faster lane, it'll just change to a faster lane. And then if you find yourself in the fast lane and it's decided that this is not the right lane to be in, it'll move back. So you still have to really be paying attention.
Wild.
Well, then why do I see Tesla drivers in the passing lane all the time going not the right speed?
I'm not going to answer that one.
Are they not paying attention?
I'm not answering because we have a Tesla driver.
And some things are cars. They're not all the same, right?
That's true.
That's the voice of Mark Marmer from Signature Electric, and I'm the voice of Alan Gelman, of course, and sitting beside me is Brian Max. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Mark Marmer from Signature Electric. And of course, we're talking a little bit about EVs and driving and all that stuff. And it is a lovely day for a drive.
And you know what? It's funny. My wife is, be talking about her again.
You're in doghouse. not only today, Al, but tomorrow too.
No. But we're talking about fuel levels, for example. And it could be either electricity charge or it could be actual gasoline. But there's some people like just drive around on empty all the time. If you're an electric driver, you can't be doing that, can you?
I'm telling you to begin with, I get in that. I have a if you're fortunate, you have home charging and a car with a decent amount of range. At that point, you're almost never thinking about this. Unless I'm traveling to Ottawa or I'm heading up north, I almost never think about this. And I've got the habit of simply just plugging in my car when I get home, even if I didn't drive very far. Just do it. It only takes a second to plug it in, a second to unplug it. And every morning I leave with, I guess we call it the equivalent of a full tank of gas, right? And I just never have to look down anymore. My first car had about 300 and something kilometers of range, which is not bad. But you could burn through 300 kilometers in a day, even, you know, go east, go west. It almost can't happen now. I'm over 600 kilometers on a range on the car. It's just not a problem.
No, and you know, isn't the best part of that experience not having to go to the gas station?
Oh, how many times have I told people this? I never stand at a freezing cold gas pump anymore. Oh my God.
Question. So is your garage clean and dry and you can drive right in, or do you just have to drag the cord outside because your garage is full?
So you're going to be very interested. You asked an interesting question.
I can't wait, Mark.
I have a double car garage. We have a Model 3 and a Model S, and I have a 1970 MGB, the exact opposite of my cars. I feel a little guilty sometimes. I have a charger inside that my wife uses for her car, and I have the charger outside that I use for my car, and the two chargers talk to each other and share the circuit, and nobody talks about please move your car, I need to unplug it, none of this happens, and I've been having my car outside for 7 or so years now. I keep in mind that the car can start to clear the windows automatically. I said it, you know, have that happen at 6 o'clock in the morning. By the time I get out, it's pretty much clear and warm already, or cool in the car, whatever I want. So very, very, very nice.
These are options that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, you know, if you're not in that electric world, because I never knew you could do that myself.
Yeah, there's all kinds. And not only pure EVs, but plug-in hybrids will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I do, if I'm parking a car outside, I do like remote start, especially with, you know, when I have to, you know, start a big turbocharged V8 or something.
Oh, keep in mind, we can do that in the garage. It doesn't matter, though, whether it's in or out. I can warm. It's amazing, right?
So, yeah. EVs do offer a whole lot of flexibility in that regard.
Sure. Well, I guess ideally, though, I mean, it's probably a good idea only in terms of if you warm your car up in the garage, it's still plugged in.
So you're not burning up your fuel. That's exactly correct.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I wasn't aware of it. I watched a great video this week from Consumer Report, and it was talking about plug-in hybrids. And how important it is that you really have to do your homework and know, you know, what the vehicle is good for before you buy it or lease it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, just like EVs, plug-in hybrids also, you know, require a bit of understanding before you pull the trigger on one of those.
Oh, exactly. Because, for example, I mean, you're going to spend, I guess, between 10 and 15 grand more for the plug-in variety.
Yeah, typically.
Right. And you know, on an economic picture of that, you want it to pay for itself. But what was interesting is people in this Consumer Report were showing that, well, hang on, my driving style is this. So, for example, I'm doing 100 kilometers a day, and I'm on the highway primarily. So, in fact, the plug-in part of that is not worth it.
Now, and typically, the range of a lot, and just call it middle of the road plug-in hybrid, the range is going to be, say, 50 kilometers.
That's it.
That's it. So great for the city if you're just running around the city. But if you got to go from, you know, downtown Toronto to Hamilton, well, it won't take long to run out of battery power in a plug-in hybrid.
Right. But again, you know, you've got that insurance. You're not going to get stuck.
No. That's the thing. And, like we were saying earlier, I did manage to get stuck once in an EV where I had to make a decision as to whether I'm going to go to my destination and figure it out when I got there or turn around and go home.
Actually, I mean, we've got Mark in here for the whole section, the show today, and Signature Electric, of course. You guys install chargers, correct?
That is what we're a 38-year-old company, so we were here before the EVs were, for sure. We do a lot of things, but you're correct. Over the last 8 or 9 years, we've been installing chargers, and we've really fought along with the market.
All right, just quickly, the back into the plug-in EV thing, though. You don't need a full level 3 charger, do you, for that?
No, so this level thing is a whole interesting thing. I have a YouTube video from 6 years ago, so it's been, no matter how many videos I put out, nothing is more interesting than the level 1, 2, 3 video.
Really?
And oh, that's great. I can appreciate that.
I've got 33,000 views. The next views I have is half of that. It doesn't matter what I do, what I think is interesting. This is what people want to know about. So it gives you an idea where people are, right? Level 1 is sort of just plug it into the garage, work perfect for the car that you were just talking about, yep. 50 kilometers. Level 2s are sort of at home, and level 3 is what we're finding on the highway, these bigger chargers.
I think we should let's delve into that a little bit more after the break, because I think it's very interesting. Yeah.
All right, cool. This is Dave's Corner Garage, an electrifying show we've got for you today. I'm sorry, dad jokes. You know, we're special at those. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman and Mark Marmer from Signature Electric. And we were talking before the break about level 1, level 2, level 3 charging. And it's an unusual thing, but it's actually fairly easy to explain. So how would you break it down, Mark?
Okay, so this whole level things got attached at the beginning, and I'm almost sorry that it ever happened. But so level 1 is I plug it into a regular outlet. So this sounds like it charges at 6 kilometers an hour. So I have my car has 600 kilometers of range. So that's a long time. So you're laughing, except number one, we carry it with us in case we have a bit of a problem. But if I only have 50 kilometers of range on my car, that could just work perfectly fine overnight. And the other thing is maybe I go up to a cottage and I'm really there all weekend and or a week, and I never drive the car, and that it took 3 days to charge is completely irrelevant. And this, I actually do this. I don't have a cottage, but when I'm visiting or renting, I'll do it. So it has a purpose. The level 2 chargers is more what we're calling sort of your home charger, a typical home charger. And level 2 means that it's an AC charger. It's taking the power from the house, delivering it to the vehicle, and the conversion from alternating current to direct current, which is what the battery takes, happens in the car. So when we call it a charger, it's a misnomer. The actual charger is in the car, but people have gotten used to this. And if I say things like EVSE, you don't know what I'm talking about. So we don't do it that way. And these chargers range now from maybe 16 amps up to even 80 amps, quite a powerful charger. This is a very popular charger we use for vans and things for fleets and what have you. So that's that kind of that piece of it. And the level 3 is really what we call a DC fast charger, which is probably a way more simple label. As soon as I tell you that, you shake your head, you get exactly what I'm talking about. It's by the highway. It's the size of a refrigerator. And so what's happening here is, first of all, it's actually doing the conversion to DC within the charger itself. It actually delivers DC current directly to the battery. So now we can deliver it much more quickly. These come in various, quite a few sizes from, 50 kilowatts to, I think, to over 700 kilowatts, something like that, really big. And it's intended for, I use that type of thing. If I were traveling a fairly long distance, maybe I'm going to Montreal and I need a stop. I can stop for, 20 minutes. That sometimes is just a pee break or a coffee, right? And then that time I can pick up another 150, 200 kilometers. And that gets me along my route. And then I'll plan whatever I'm going to do charging at the other end. This is not something you'll see in you asked about somebody's house. Of course, somebody wouldn't put this in their house. They don't have the power for it. They're operating at 480 volts. So
And they probably don't want to spend six figures on a charger for their home.
I'd love them to do it.
For you, it would be great for your business.
Yeah, so it's just really more of a commercial item. We do install quite a lot of them, but they're a different purpose. And the Tesla chargers that you see, 20 to a bay, those are Tesla's level 3 solution.
Yeah.
Now, is a Tesla level 3 and an ordinary is level 3 any different?
Functionally, in terms of what it's doing, taking AC current, community DC, and putting it to the car, the answer is no. But this is a very interesting piece that's happened over the last little while. So Tesla decided from day one. Mm-hmm. They said, there's no way we're selling cars if people can't move past 15 blocks from their house. Who's going to buy a car, especially if we're going to charge them $200,000 for the car? Mm-hmm. They have to have a way to charge them and to be able to get further. And they started putting in these chargers. They started the chargers and the car together. And I thought, okay, well, that's a good idea. But it just didn't stop. Like, they kept going and going and going. And the amount of chargers that are even in the Metro Toronto area are unbelievable. One of the things is that the NACS connector, the connector that fits into the car, only fit into Tesla vehicles.
Right.
So it was very easy. You could say to me, well, the charger and the car, where's the money, right? Okay, well, if you're using this charger, then you bought a car. So I made the money. It was no problem. But what happened just so – and the other cars – Don't plug into the same. They're using a different Chatham or CCS combo connector.
Oh, that's where you I hate those names too.
The CCS and Chatham.
Yeah, I don't even bother. That's where you lose people. So basically, Tesla has one type of plug, and every other car maker uses another type of plug. Until recently,
Ford woke up one day, and God only knows how this happened, and we caught everybody by surprise, and we're absolutely thrilled, or at least I'm absolutely thrilled, because I think it's a giant turning point. They said, in a couple of years, every single one of our vehicles will have this NACS connector on it. That's the one that plugs into the Tesla. Keep in mind, the same plug does AC and DC. It's not two different plugs, and it's way smaller, way more compact. Really, I think that I call it that the best thing is floated to the top of the game. So
it is. If you've used both styles of plugs, the Tesla connector is much more elegant than anything else.
Amazing,
that's
right?
Out there.
The cream rising to the top is what I was trying to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's right on brand for Tesla. But that Tesla connector is a nice piece, whereas all the other ones I've used, they just feel like they're Walmart level connectors.
So quickly after that, of course, not surprisingly, every single car manufacturer announced that they're going to do it. And then there was a couple of days there that every 30 seconds, another manufacturer of chargers was telling you they're going to do it. So this is going to happen. So far, they're calling Stellantis and Volkswagen holdouts. I don't think they're holdouts. I just don't think they've quite got there yet. This is not a simple matter for these car companies.
All right, it's an electrifying conversation today, and I got more questions now than I had before.
All right.
The more I find out, the more questions I got.
It's pretty cool. You got to come EV driving with me sometime, Al.
I think I do. All right, we got to take a break right now, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Mark Marmer from Signature Electric, and it is an electrifying show today, isn't it?
It is, for sure. Speaking of electrifying, exciting news. Anyways, if you want a set of tires, this is the last weekend for you to get your set of Triangle tires for free.
Whether you're driving an EV or otherwise,
exactly.
Go to davescornergarage.com, click on the contest button, and enter the contest for a free set of Triangle tires.
There you go. And it could be summer or winter. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, whether you drive a truck, a car, an EV, doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's limited to the truck size. I don't think they were giving away tractor-trailer tires.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. None of those. And I don't think you can get trailer tires either.
There you go. But, driving in today, everything is condos nowadays. And of course, anything that's been built within the last how many years, Mark, is equipped for EVs. Was there any particular rule when they needed to be ready?
It's been a very big mix. First of all, when you have to tell me what area. We're talking all of Canada. I can tell you that in BC, in certain areas of BC, they have a very different attitude out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is that? Because of more sales, or they're more progressive? Or
I think they're a greener thinking place.
Okay.
So I think that's just part of it. I don't live out there, but I know that Quebec is these are the two hot areas for EVs in general. Mm-hmm. Most of them get sold there. This is partly to do with we have one utility in Quebec, Quebec Hydro, and Quebec Hydro made this same connection. They go, well, you know what? If we help chargers, those people who use electricity. Oh, look, we make electricity. That works fine.
You're talking about from a building rules perspective.
Oh, then. No. So, yeah, even from – sorry, you let me lose track. So you're right. From a building rules, it's been a real mix, and I don't think we're still there yet. Toronto has rules. Ontario has rules. There's places in other jurisdictions that have rules. Ultimately, if I can have the mic for 2 seconds about this, I would like to see every building that gets built be 100% EV ready. Because right now they're some percentage EV ready. I see this almost every single week. So that's fine that there's some percentage, and it's great that they took care of that percentage. So even if it was 90%, which it's not, who are these other 10%? They live in the building. Don't they have a right? Why do they have to be treated differently than everybody else?
Just clear that up, though. I mean, so I don't understand what you mean. So in a low percentage, there's just going to be 5 spots in that one building? Or are we talking multiple floors, for example, that are ready to go?
They usually do it per percentage. So they'll say, okay, we're going to be 20% EV ready. So they take the spaces, they divide up that amount. And then just to be clear, what EV ready might or might not mean, that's a whole other question. But assume that they're going to at least bring the wires. That would be amazing.
Right.
And then I'll deal with the charger later on. That would be ideal. Maybe I'm not going to get the charger, but that's fine. But I've got it there. That makes it much easier rather than imagine what's involved for us to have to come and start putting wires, cables, and everything. This has become a very expensive thing. And frankly, I don't live in a condo, but as a condo owner, I would rather pay a small amount in the purchase price of my unit and have this ready for me before than having to deal with it out of my pocket. Once I've done and I got my mortgage going and I come and I need $6,000 or $7,000 and 3 months communicating with the board to get my charger. This is a real thing. 3 months communicating with the board to get my charger if I'm lucky enough. It doesn't make sense. We got to be doing this. I think it benefits everybody. The developer it can get paid for their spaces.
Yeah, they'll make money on that.
Of course, why not? Well, yeah. There's absolutely no problem. And it'll be better for the owner because they paid less for it. It'll be much smoother. And if the reality is we want people to have EV charging, we just discussed it at the beginning of the show, charging at home is the way to go, right? That makes it easy.
Yes. Speaking of which, Mark, let's sort of shift gears, if you will. And you're buying your first EV and you got a house with a garage. And you have no idea what to do with charging. How does that process work? And how can you help someone?
Very simple. You're going to go to my website, signatureelectric.ca. I'll get to throw in that plug. Thank you very much. And you're on the top right-hand side, it's going to go, hi, I'd like an EV charger. You're going to click that button. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to call you. They're going to find out the details. We're going to come out to your place. We're going to take a look. We're going to give you a price. You like it or you don't like it. And we'll put a charger in for you. And you should have that all settled long before your car comes home. So when your car comes home, you just gently roll it into the garage, plug it in, a big smile on your face, and head inside the house and enjoy the experience.
You know, I'm laughing because, you know, as a repair tech and garage owner, how often did I get a call that was like, how much for a brake job? Okay, and it's the same thing. And now, of course, you could say, well, what do you need, front and back? Or do you need just pads? Do you need just rotors? What kind of car are you driving? So these are all important questions that, in a lot of cases, the owner or the person calling doesn't even know the answers.
That's right.
Same thing with the charger, where someone calls and said, how much for a charger? Well, it depends how old the house is, where the charger is located, where your main box is located. So it always requires a site visit, correct?
Not everybody does it. At Signature Electric, we always do a site visit. We've tried all kinds of things. We've been doing this for a long time.
Look, well, how could you guess what the cost would be?
Guys are doing this because they're trying to figure it. People send you pictures and this and that. So what happens when I get there and I sent wire with the guy and I'm 10 feet short, or the guy didn't understand, or there's a wall in the way that I didn't know? Let me send the actual electrician to the site, and the customer goes. The electrician will tell me exactly what he needed, and he'll go do it, and it's working perfectly.
Right, it's right, because otherwise you're going to get into a match where you told me it was only going to be $2,000, and now you got a bill of like $5,000. What happened here?
Or worse yet, I come up short. That's even. Listen, we just want we've been doing this a long time. I just want good customer experiences. I'd rather not do a job than have a bad customer experience. That's not good for us.
No, and we've heard, of course, being on the show, we've heard horror stories of home installations of EV chargers.
Just to be clear, well, I'll do this one too.
Yeah.
Your contractor needs to be a licensed electrical contractor. That is the rule in the province of Ontario. And they should be able to provide you, which we do at the end of the job, with a certificate of inspection from the Electrical Safety Authority. This is not funny. This is a very important piece of equipment. And that will give you confidence that this person that you did this work for you can be trusted and the work was done properly.
So Bob down the street who kind of watched the YouTube videos, not how to go.
I think we talked about this last time when we were together. Is that the guy that you want to hook up the stove and then run the stove 8 hours a day inside your house, maybe not the best idea, right?
You know, that's a good way to put it, Mark.
Yeah, so people have to know that. If your house does unfortunately burn down and your insurance company finds out, you don't have insurance.
You know what? Listen, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm told.
It's possible. I they will come back and ask these questions. I had a couple of railings put in the front of my house over from my three little steps at the front of the house. And the guy goes, you know, the most railings we put in? Somebody tripped. The insurance company says, oh, where are the railings? And they don't cover the trip and fall, and they're putting in railings. Yeah, let's be doing smart things. This is important, right?
Yeah, of course. Especially when you're dealing with electricity and the needs of an EV. Absolutely.
And this is a fairly significant draw. This is probably, to be quite honest with you, this car is going to probably draw as much electricity as your whole house does right now. We do these because we check these to make sure there's enough power. So I know that a house takes only about 30 amps. Well, I just told you that the charger is going to take at least that. So, and it's going to run 4 or 5 hours every single day in your garage. Okay. So I hope I've convinced you.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Mark, question quickly. Now, you guys do the installations. Do you supply the chargers as well?
We can supply the chargers. We do carry some. We're not really a charger retailer. Uh-huh. And I'm completely happy if the customer has purchased the charger themselves. There's no issue whatsoever. If they would like to help us have them purchase it, it's no issue. We're frankly not making – we're not a retailer. We're a contractor. We're not making a ton of money on the charger, so it's not really that – important to us.
And a lot of manufacturers will package a charger with their cars. I see it on the non-Tesla OEM side where they will package a charger with the car.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask. You don't always know what are you getting with the car. Are you getting something I can just plug in and use on the road? And I still, there's so many vehicles now that I don't know the answer to that question anymore. Even Tesla stopped packaging certain things. They would actually like you to put in a proper level 2 charger. There's reasons for that. When you put a plug in and you plug the charger into the wall with the stove or dryer plug, it's another point of connection, another point of fault, and this is where we have a lot of failures. I am a big advocate of hardwiring the charger.
And at the end of the day, you're making an investment in the EV. The cost of a home charger is not that much.
The home chargers are not that much. Just to throw out a number, a couple of $1,000 usually get you the home charger even installed. Condos, a different story. Here we're talking $5,000, $6,000 and maybe some legal fees and whatever. But when I hear from the condo owners, they go, you know what? I spent $10,000 with all the things I had to jump through. I think I added $20,000 in value. I think this is a great thing that I did. A lot of them do it and they don't have a car. Well, they don't clearly don't have a car. Not everyone. And some of them see it as being just an amenity.
Well, question, because I know nowadays, of course, when you buy a condo, you don't necessarily get a parking spot. So question, do they price out premium spots, ones that provide electricity and ones that don't?
Probably.
I guess they could.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I can guarantee you that if you're getting a charging spot, you are paying a premium for that spot. And you're right, parking spots are we could have a whole show on what's happening in parking spots. We've gone from having a minimum in the city of Toronto amount of spaces available to a maximum. They are trying to get people to not use their cars. Yes. And it's at one point we got to a point where we would have 4 levels of parking and nobody would ever park on the lower level because they'd overjudged how many parking spaces were needed. So they're trying to work this balance.
I see the buildings that are going up in my neighborhood have gone the opposite way. You know, there's about one-third of parking spots available for the total number of units.
Correct.
In the vehicle. So they've gone the opposite way, at least in the city of Toronto. I don't know about other jurisdictions, but Toronto seems to be going that way. For somebody who loves to drive like me, I kind of need some parking spots. So, you know, that's always a consideration for me.
No, it's something to think about. But listen, people move into downtown Toronto. They've already spent a fortune on this tiny little condo. They don't always have the money for another $50,000 parking spot, another vehicle, and they're perfectly happy. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, a little younger than me, and they manage perfectly fine. They have car share, and she uses it every once in a while, and they've got transit, and the two of them have no interest in buying a car.
And to be fair, my neighborhood is perfectly walkable. I actually don't need to drive anywhere, but I still love to drive.
All right, we talked earlier about the leaves coming down, and that means, guess what happened early this week? It's Halloween.
Halloween.
Exactly, and to prepare you and make sure that your eyes are open and you're awake, I should say. I guess I'm not. We got Michael Stewart, the CA, coming on board, and he'll be with us right after the break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Mark Marmer from Signature Electric. But we have a guest on the phone, Michael Stewart from CAA. And, of course, Michael, we've got some things to talk about. Tis the season for kids to be on the road.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. As we all know, Halloween is next week. And even the quietest streets can become busy with trick-or-treaters. So CAA just wants to remind motorists and pedestrians and trick-or-treaters just to take extra care and be safe out on the roads.
Perfect. And when we're talking about, you know, people have to pay attention, obviously, and I just see it so often driving downtown, and maybe it's a bit of a bugaboo or I'm just fixated on it, but everybody's on their phone all the time, and it drives me crazy. In fact, I learned something myself today. Mark was talking about on his Tesla how it has a green light to tell you that, yo, you're on the phone. By the way, the light has changed, and you'd be stepping on the gas pedal. I didn't even know they have that stuff. But how are we going to get people to you know, pay attention and not have to you know, put the phone down?
It's amazing how much vehicles have evolved and the technology that's there now, as you mentioned there in that Tesla. But it's important to remember that driving while on your phone, while holding a handheld device, is illegal in Ontario. Driving requires your full focus, so it's important to keep that phone tucked away, whether it's on Do Not Disturb or just out of reach and out of sight, to make sure you're focusing on the road, especially when it comes to Halloween on Tuesday night. You're going to want to make sure that you're fully focused on the road. You want to make sure that you are obeying traffic signs. You're going to want to make sure that you're looking out at driveways, front yards, spaces between parked cars and the road ahead. Just in case there's any overexcited trick-or-treaters out there who might be crossing the street potentially where they shouldn't be. And even when it comes to pedestrians, you want to make sure that you are focused on the sidewalk and the road as well. So making sure that you're not texting while crossing the road or even have headphones in while crossing the road. You want to make sure that you're fully aware of what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. And especially with Halloween coming up, you're going to want to make sure that you're fully focused on either getting that candy or making sure that you're getting home safely.
Now, is there anything that people could do as far as a parent goes or somebody doing their own costumes to make themselves more visible?
Of course. There's quite a few things that can be done to make yourself more visible. So aiming for more brightly colored costumes instead of all black ones. I think some of the most popular costumes this year are Barbie, Ken. There's a couple other ones that are actually just naturally bright colors and bright outfits, which is great. But if you are opting for a more darker costume, accessorizing it with some reflective tape or glow sticks, or you can also put a flashlight face down in your child's trick-or-treat bags, mm-hmm. with the caveat that they shouldn't be shining it at cars. And then for drivers as well, just making sure that you have your appropriate lighting on 30 minutes before sunset and throughout the night, just making sure that not only can you see kids out and pedestrians out walking, but making sure they can see you as well.
Yes, ghost cars. I see those all the time. In fact, my wife used to call me the light police guy because I'd be honking and flashing.
But you know, they don't know.
If they
do switch their headlamps on, they probably have their brights on at the same time. Anyway, Michael, I think of my neighborhood, which is more of a mature neighborhood, lots of tree coverage, and even with streetlights, it can be very dark. So on Halloween, you know, drivers really have to be careful in places like that.
Correct. Yes, there is street lighting out there on a lot of residential streets, but as I said, if there's a lot of trees and it's blocking that light, making sure that your child and even yourself as a parent or guardian or the chaperone that's taking the kids out trick-or-treating, making sure that you're also leading by example. So it's one thing for us to tell kids to do all this stuff, but then we also have to make sure that we're modeling that behavior ourselves. So if you are making sure that your child has glow sticks or reflective items on their costume, maybe making sure you do that as well on yours, just so they see you doing it too. And that way it helps normalize that behavior and helps reinforce it for them, too.
It's important. My neighbor pointed it out to me once, and I didn't even think about it because, of course, my winter jacket was black, my pants were black, and my shoes were black. And he said, you know, you really should do something because cars driving down the street cannot see you.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of us don't actually we don't think about that kind of stuff. So if we're going out and we're picking out a jacket, we're looking for more of the functional style or what will just go with everything. But making sure if it is time to buy a new jacket, making sure to consider that option of, okay, like, let me go for a more brightly colored one, or are there accessories I can put on there that will help make it more reflective? I know for me, I'll catch myself, I'm about to leave the house walking the dogs, and thinking, oh, I have dark sweatpants on, I have a dark jacket on, nope, can't do this. So I swap the jacket out or other things out, and then even the dog's leashes when we're going for walks, those are reflective. We have a reflective bag that we put on too. So there's just a bunch of little things that folks can do to help be more visible on our roads.
I think it'd be good if people went out as construction workers, because all those guys seem to have fluorescent vests on nowadays anyways.
Yeah, all the bright colored vests. I mean, hey, that would be great. Everyone could see, or even the kids who dress up as firefighters. Those are great jackets to have on and are nice visible costumes as well.
And, you know, we were talking about, things being dark, and we've had months of daylight savings time, but we're not that far away from changing back to standard time. And, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I just charged up my dog's LED collar, because I know in a couple of weeks I'm going to be walking the dog at a time of day where it's no longer going to be light. It's going to be dark.
Correct. Daylight saving time ends 2 a.m. on Sunday, November 5th, and the clocks will fall back an hour. And as much as this happens every year, I find it always catches all of us off guard. I don't do well when I lose an hour of sleep. So I always make sure that when I'm getting up that morning, when the clocks fall back, I don't rush anywhere. I try and just take my time. You might feel a bit tired, or you might feel a bit thrown off with the time change. So it's important not to rush out that day, whether you're driving anywhere, even going out for a walk. Just take your time and let yourself adjust. And then, as you said, as we approach those winter months, those daylight hours are getting shorter. So that's where a lot of these visibility tips that we share for Halloween actually come into play for all of us during those fall and winter months. We want to make sure that we're visible using our appropriate vehicle lighting systems and making sure that we're keeping each other safe and looking out for one another.
And of course, it's a time of year when people are going to want to change their tires over. And I know CAA offers a service to do that, correct?
Correct. We do have a winter tire change service. So if you go to caasco.com, you can look into our winter tire change service. The tires do have to be on rim, but you can book an appointment and our technicians will come to you and switch them out in your driveway and make sure they're on properly.
Will they bring you an orange plastic pumpkin?
They might not do that, unfortunately, but hopefully. I'll make the suggestion.
Yeah, with a big CA logo on the back, I think that'd be perfect.
Great idea.
All right, Michael, thank you for joining us.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. And Ryan, if you were thinking of going as Barbie, you got to take that beard off.
No, so that precludes me from dressing up as Barbie.
Okay, then you can be Ken and I'll be Barbie?
Sure.
All right,
done deal.
We we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in the studio with Alan Gelman and Mark Marmer from Signature Electric. And in fact, Mark wasn't supposed to be with us today because an old friend and frequent guest of the show, Christina Legowski, passed away recently. She joined us because she possessed an unparalleled knowledge of cars, and she was a writer, wrote for the Globe and Mail most recently. Her articles were enjoyed by many. Her words also delved into the haunting depths of her mother's Holocaust experiences, inspiring countless with her powerful narratives. Personally, she was a devoted admirer of Barbra Streisand, just like you, Al.
Yes.
and found solace in the singer's melodic tales. Cats also held a special place in her heart. Her feline companions were a source of unwavering joy. A longtime resident of Toronto, Christina actively took pride in her Polish roots, spoke the language, and enjoyed its culture. As we bid her farewell, Christina's vibrant spirit leaves an indelible mark on those she touched. She shall be deeply missed.
Absolutely. Dave and myself have known her for at least 30-odd years. You know, we met her originally doing consumer work for Automobile Protection Association. She would write for them in their monthly magazine. But she was dedicated to the fact that, you know, she really wanted to make sure her words were correct. You know, she wouldn't just call out somebody on something. She, in most cases, she would call myself. She would call our another friend of ours, Ellie Melnick, who in fact is an engineer, not just a tech, but an engineer, just to make sure that the content was correct, that, you know, that she didn't want to get called out for saying something that was, you know, incorrect.
Yeah, so. I always enjoyed reading her work because she was not an automotive journalist, and that's, you know, the world I spend time in.
Other question though, yeah. You know, her website was Drive Like a Chick.
Yeah,
I wonder. I don't know how to take that.
I don't know.
Are girls better drivers or worse? We're not supposed to question that.
No, I don't know about that. You know, with the race team, I'd love to have women race with us. You know, to me, it doesn't matter. But you know, I think certainly women have a different perspective. But Christina's perspective on, and especially in her work in the last couple of years, she was delving a lot into EVs,
exactly,
and really understanding what the challenges are for people coming into EVs, coming from an internal combustion engine car. So her stuff was very informative, and you can still find it out there. All you need to do is search for Christina Legowski and you'll find her stories.
Yeah, some great information there about electric cars like Mark provided today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
A wealth of knowledge. I figured it was just chargers you knew about, but you know about the whole thing.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, when we started installing the chargers, that's how I ended up in a Tesla. We were installing a zillion Tesla chargers, and I was getting all kinds of questions about the car, and I didn't really understand the car. And I said, listen, I'm not spending $120,000 on a car. No, Mark, come on down. There's no commitment. You don't have to worry. Let me just take you for a test drive.
Right.
If you don't want to buy an electric car, please don't test drive it, because you're going to love it when you get behind the wheel. So my first car probably cost as much for that car as every car I've owned be put together before that.
Right.
But I have loved the experience. It's been a bit of a treat for me.
Yeah. One of my favorite experiences in the last year, I drove a proper AMG electric. Mm. So Mercedes does an AMG EQE, mm-hmm. and it's tuned by AMG, and that is my jam. It does everything I want it to do in terms of performance, handling, all of that stuff. And then on top of that, it's an electric. Yep. It was an incredible driving experience.
Came out just at the right time for an expensive car, and the interest rates would be a bit high. My Mercedes dealers aren't exactly thrilled.
That's
but
for
it's
sure.
a great looking car.
Yeah, and as the AMG, I mean, it's you know, as a race driver and all that stuff, that it ticks all the boxes. Oh. For me. It's got big brakes on it and great seats and lowered suspension, big wheels and tires.
You're gonna see the smile on your face.
it's a lovely driving car. That the episode's on my YouTube channel. It is a fantastic piece.
So question, but what does it sound like?
Like an electric car on the outside.
Oh, but they don't have like an audio file that they play for.
Yeah, they do some sound augmentation on the inside. You know, a lot of manufacturers are doing these sounds. I can always identify the Audi e-trons because they have sounds that were composed by Hans Zimmer, the well-known composer. Mm-hmm. So I can always hear when those drive by my office.
They're different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And you know, a lot of conventional cars emit a certain noise at pedestrian, you know, yes. at lower speeds, so yes. pedestrians can hear them. But those Audi e-trons are they make a different kind of sound, and they're going to always pick those up.
My brother's Kona's got just a little sound that I can hear when you're in that low speed. That I think again to help with the pedestrians and what have you. I believe you could turn it on and off. But yeah, I thought, oh, what was that?
Oh, you have a choice. Because I thought the government made it a ruling that in fact these cars had to have warnings for pedestrians.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that. It's quite possible. I do have to mention that not that long ago I saw somebody with a Tesla that had some kind of external speaker on it that mimicked the sound of a V8.
Yes, there's a lot of toys and gadgets, and I won't go all into it because I don't do it as much as some of the guys, but that they can do light shows, they can do sound. The grandkids are very excited that it can make fart sounds inside the car.
Of course.
It's all kinds of fun. I think once you get these engineers, they say, well, we could do this too. Would you like that to happen? I think that's how the green light thing started. Right. Somebody said, well, we already know it's a green light. Why don't we just ring a chime? Oh, okay, that sounds right.
Yeah, and it's software. It's a couple of lines of code, and
I think it is.
With over-the-air updates, if that software isn't on your car, it will be overnight.
It's amazing.
Wow. Again, what's the website?
Oh, signatureelectric.ca. Thank you.
And you've got a prominent button. If you do need a charger installed, you've got a prominent button on the website.
Right, top right-hand side is, I need a car charger, or I'd like electrical service. Those are your choices.
There you go, and you do provide both.
100%,
you
absolutely.
You did for one of my relatives, and she was very happy with your service.
Oh,
appreciate
thank you so
it.
Much.
Yeah, and in fact, in her case, too, she didn't take the charger that the dealer suggested. Mark said they have one better that costs less money.
Ooh. Yeah, well, Mark knows the business.
That really is go. A commercial.
Ashley, thank you for keeping the wheels on our electric bus today. And again, thanks for joining us. Drive safe, everyone.
Have a great driving weekend. It looks like a beautiful day for a drive.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.